Hi again, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Campus Tailgate, WGNRadio.com. I'm Dave Ennett, joined by Mike Jacobson. We stop by every week to give you a perspective on college football in the week ahead, some of the key matchups around the country and around the Big Ten, obviously. And Mike, this looks to be one of those weeks where, unlike last week, where it's some really intriguing matchups going in, there seem to be fewer of those on the board this week. You're looking at potentially some one-sided games. I think you always get this in the non-conference season. You get a week like this where you just don't have those real compelling matchups. For instance, you've got top-ranked Alabama hosting Western Kentucky. You have second-ranked Clemson, about a five-touchdown favorite over Troy. You have Charleston Southern playing at number three, Florida State. About the best thing Charleston Southern might have going for them is that Florida State's going to be going on short rest after playing on Monday. Otherwise, some of the matchups this week look like they will be less than intriguing.
Yeah, I think I would go with the over in a lot of those games for the most part. And, yeah, you know, that's what the way they've been setting it up lately now, college football, is you do get a few of those intriguing matchups. You know, last week you had Wisconsin and LSU, which ended up being a great game at Lambeau. And down in Austin, you had Notre Dame playing. But week two is when you start settling in and you're like, okay, this is the beginning of college football season. This is when you're going to get these blowout games, 63-3. But at the same time, we're all football junkies here, so we're all going to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching. It's still early, too, and you don't always know what you've got if you're the favorite. And sometimes some of these teams that you think are going to get rolled over in these big games end up putting up a pretty decent fight. Notre Dame gets to go home and take on Nevada. Now, Nevada got by Cal Poly in overtime last week, while Notre Dame suffered that double overtime loss to Texas. I think it'll be really interesting to see how the Irish come out at home after suffering such a tough loss, game in which they came back valiantly, tied the game in sort of unbelievable fashion by returning a blocked extra point for 2 points and then losing a real heartbreaker in double OT. A lot of good things for Notre Dame in that game, but obviously they have to shore things up defensively especially.
Yeah, when you're looking at your wounds after a primetime loss like that, and as you mentioned, double overtime, how you react, it's a huge statement of where your program is and where it's going to be moving forward. Okay, yeah, you lost in Austin, and it was a tough loss, but how are you going to rebound? The fact that Nevada's coming in, that's probably – it's a good thing, I guess you would say.
One of the encouraging signs for Notre Dame was the play of quarterback Deshaun Kizer, and he will start the game this week in South Bend against Nevada. Speaking of licking their wounds, the Northwestern Wildcats coming off their season opening loss to Western Michigan, just the second time they've lost a season opener under Pat Fitzgerald. And this was a game that it appeared they were going in to take the lead with just about 3 minutes to go when they had that bizarre fumble by quarterback Clayton Thorson at the goal line. They ended up going out of the end zone. It was ruled a touchback. And after that, Western Michigan was able to run out the clock. This week, the Wildcats get FCS opponent Illinois State at Ryan Field. Now, Illinois State has been in the FCS playoffs under Brock Spack. 2 years ago, they played for a national championship. It's a very good FCS program. They have a lot of Chicago area kids. It's an in-state matchup. So I think Northwestern is on guard here this week, and I think they should be, especially after the loss to Western Michigan last week. That said, I think they'll play a lot better. I don't think we saw a characteristic performance by Northwestern last week, and I think that the Wildcats are a better team than they showed against Western Michigan. Is that a fact? I guess we'll find out down the road here, because after this week, the schedule seemingly gets even tougher with Duke coming in, then Nebraska, and then you go on the road to the Big Ten to play Iowa. But this is not going to be necessarily a pushover game for the Wildcats against ISU.
Yeah, you're talking 2 weeks in a row now. You think back to last year with Northwestern. They had that statement win over Stanford in the opener. And you mentioned that they don't – it's only the second time they've lost the opener under Fitz. So in the way they lost that in that tough fashion – they shook a little bit of the rust off.
Well, I'm not sure, because they came out and they took the ball down the field 75 yards on their opening possession, scored a touchdown. But after that, it seemed like maybe they felt after the way the game started that they were going to control the game. But they didn't seem to play with the kind of urgency that they're going to need. And I think we saw more of it in the second half.
Yes.
And they put a couple scoring drives together. So perhaps.
Back-to-back drives, right?
Yes. So perhaps we'll see more of that this week against the Redbirds. And that game right on WGN Radio and right here on WGNRadio.com at 2 o'clock for the pregame and 2:30 for the kickoff. And in Champaign, Saturday evening, it will be the Fighting Illini under head coach Lovie Smith looking to get to 2-0 as they host number 22, North Carolina. Carolina's coming in off a loss. The Illini go into the game off a victory. And joining us, a good friend and the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart. Brian, good start for Illinois last week against Murray State. But there's no question that they take a step up in class this week against the Tar Heels.
No, you're right, Dave. It was a very good start for Lovie Smith. There's been a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement. When he was hired back on March 7th, people have been looking forward to the start of the season. I know Lovie was more than ready. He's been very, very enthused about being back in the college game. He mentioned to me two or three times on various shows that, you know, you're looking forward to walking with the team up to Memorial Stadium, to having a college band, you know, to just being part of the excitement of a college game. And so he enjoyed it. The fans were excited. We had a really good crowd. I think our biggest non-conference crowd in about 5 years. And so they played well. They did a lot of things that you would hope in a game against a level of competition like Murray State. You play well. You get your starters some good numbers. You get a lot of people in the game. You get nobody hurt for the most part, and you come out of there and you have a lot of confidence getting ready for a very good North Carolina team that people forget, Dave, led Georgia, I think, by 10 in the third quarter in what I've been told was not necessarily a neutral field there in Atlanta.
No, I wouldn't think so. I think it was a North Carolina home game, but it was played in the Georgia Dome for whatever reason. Yeah, I don't think that's exactly a good home field advantage for them. A couple of things about the victory over Murray State, and I'll be honest with you, Brian, I haven't done a ton of research on Murray State, but I think any time you hold a team to minus 10 rushing yards, you're doing something right.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, the strength of the defense is the defensive line. And Dave, you've seen the guys, Smoot and Clemens and Rob Bain and Carroll Phillips. That's a really good front four, and they're pretty deep at that position. So, you knew that if they got a lot of pressure on the quarterback for Murray State, who led the country at the FCS level in passing last year, but if you got a lot of pressure on him, they probably wouldn't be able to run very well at all. And if they pressured him, they would force some mistakes. And that's exactly what happened. The defense got two interceptions on the first couple of possessions, catch them in for points. And then the rest of the game, Murray State gave up on the run. When they did try, they couldn't do anything with it. But the strength of the Illinois defense is that front four, and Smoot is a guy that's been projected as maybe a top 15 pick next year in the NFL draft. So it'll be a much bigger test this week, as you mentioned, with Elijah Hood coming in, T.J. Logan for North Carolina. Those are some really good tailbacks.
On the offensive side of the ball, Brian, senior Wes Lund, you know, he brings a lot of stability to the quarterback position for a team that's going through a shift right now in the coaching staff. And how much of a comfort blanket is he going to be at under center for Lovie Smith moving forward through the rest of the year? Because he looked good in game one.
Yeah, well, Mike, Lovie's mentioned that several times. If you're going to come in and take over like Lovie did on the fly, you know, March is not the usual time you're making coaching changes. To have a senior quarterback who's experienced, who is very coachable, willing to learn, has a terrific arm, really good accuracy. I mean, that's a great starting point. You can kind of not worry about that sort of thing and let him work with the new offensive coordinator, Garrick McGee. And he was very efficient last week. He was 15 of 21, three touchdowns, threw a strike for 68 yards to Malik Turner. Just having him back there, and you think about it, he's been through, three different head coaches, you know, a handful of different offensive coordinators since he's been at Illinois.
And, yeah, a little bit of the Jay Cutler treatment.
Yeah, and he's adapted extremely well. I mean, to start with that kind of experience, this is, really helps the offense. Just gives you one less thing to worry about.
You go back to last year, the Illini were 2-0, went into a Chapel Hill and got blown out by North Carolina. I remember talking to you, Brian, I think either the evening of that game, because we were both out in North Carolina, a few miles apart, or maybe it was the day of the game, and it was a pretty lopsided affair, and that was the only loss for Illinois in their first five games last year. How important is this game in terms of I hate to use the term measuring stick, but maybe seeing how far they've come in the span of a year and certainly in their opening months under Lovie Smith?
Well, yeah, your measuring stick's a good word. Barometer, I think, is another good word. I mean, I think people have been looking, if they look at this season, because when you think about it, a lot of the same guys are back. Some new guys, some transfers, some, Artie Nickerson on defense, for instance, the younger coming in. That's a different, a difference maker that you didn't expect necessarily, but essentially the same team. But I think the look at, when you look at this game, it's at home, it's at night. I think they're within, as of a day or so ago, about 3,000 tickets of being sold out. We haven't had a sellout in quite a while here at Memorial Stadium. So I think people are interested to see how they fare against a team like North Carolina, a Power 5 team that, you're right, Dave, I mean, they dominated pretty much start to finish last year in running the ball. They had a really talented quarterback in Marquise Williams, who was a dual threat. They had Ryan Switzer, who ran back a couple of punts from 71 and 85 yards, one of those for a touchdown. So they're, a dangerous team that blew out Illinois last year. But this is a good testing ground here to see, okay, you beat Murray State. You did everything you're supposed to do in that game. Everybody's confident. Everybody's feeling good. All right, let's see how you do against a team like this. And the honeymoon is still on with Lovie Smith. He's a big star in town. Everybody's kind of starstruck with him because of who he is and his accomplishments in the past with the Bears and in the NFL for years. And so, but for Illinois as a team, yes, it's a huge barometer of where this season might go, because they've got some games at home they can win. The Minnesota game is a possible game. Obviously, they've got Iowa at home this year, but to get one against North Carolina, that would really, I think, explode the excitement and the momentum, not only for the team, but for the fandom.
And what's Lovie's demeanor been like, Brian? Because it's a different vibe when you're on a college campus versus coaching in the National Football League.
Oh, he's been great. You can tell he's genuinely excited about this. I think in some cases, and you would know this being around NFL coaches and around Lovie for years in Chicago, I don't know. You would think from the outside that, it's like, well, I'm going back to college. But I've coached in the NFL. I've been in the NFL Super Bowl media day. I've been at the coaching at the highest levels. What would this be like to step back into it? And I think when Josh Whitman, our new athletic director, first approached Ron Turner about talking to Lovie, he wasn't sure what Lovie's reaction would be. But I think the timing was right. Lovie was interested in impacting young men at an earlier stage of life at the college level as opposed to the professional ranks. And I think just the opportunity of him coming, the moment, everything kind of came together at the right time. And he's genuinely excited, I can tell. There was a great picture of him walking with his team. They walked from the Eikenberry Commons, which is a housing unit up just up the road a bit from the stadium. Walked in, he had his tie and jacket on, he's walking with his football team, and the band is playing, and I just think he was genuinely thrilled to be back coaching in college. So it's a little different for him, but people are excited to have him around.
In terms of Lovie's roster right now, one guy to keep an eye on either side of the ball that Illinois fans don't know that much about, but could make an impact this year.
Well, I think one guy made an impact last week on offense was Kendrick Foster. He had been kind of buried on the depth chart at tailback. He's a Peoria product, Peoria Richwoods, and people had kind of forgotten about him. He had rushed for like 6,000 yards in high school, which is like the fifth, the highest total in state history.
Oh, wow.
But hadn't been playing much at all. And then last week, he lost some weight during the spring and the fall camp. Lovie Smith said, hey, you need to lose some weight. And he rattled off 256-yard touchdown runs and showed some breakaway speed, which we had not seen from him before. So I think that's one guy. I think Nickerson is a guy that obviously had 11 tackles last week. People know about his dad being the great player that he was and then his son coming from Cal, but I didn't know if Hardy would make that big an impact that early, but he was, to show you how much respect his teammates had for him, he had been a captain at Cal. He comes in, and he'd only been here, like, since July and had been in camp for, you know, the few weeks that we'd had it, and the teammates named him a permanent captain for this year. So that shows a lot of respect for him. But and then I think, you know, Darius Mosley needs to have a breakout year. He didn't have a great year last year. And I think he can help the team in a lot of different ways. But those are a couple of names anyway for you.
Well, I think this is a really intriguing matchup. I think it's one of the better ones on the schedule, quite frankly, this weekend. I'm looking forward to watching it on Saturday night. So, Brian, have a great call. I know you will. Enjoy it. And we will catch you a little bit down the road.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Brian.
Some of the other Big Ten matchups, Michigan coming off a blowout win over Hawaii, hosting UCF this week, Ohio State against Tulsa, Purdue takes on Cincinnati. The Wisconsin Badgers, I think they need to be on guard against Akron this week. I mean, it should be a game they win fairly handily, but coming off that huge emotional win over LSU at Lambeau Field, this is, if there's ever a time for a letdown, you would think it would be this week.
Well, you go from unranked to number 10 in the country in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And they might still be drinking that Kool-Aid, so I think that's a very, very good point. So Paul Chris is going to have to get his guys, say, hey, snap out of it. Let's get it going here. I mean, we got Akron. Get ready for him.
That's it. That sounds like Coach Chris there.
I'm Paul Chris, live in Madison.
Nebraska. Taking on Wyoming. That Wyoming team knocked off Northern Illinois last week in overtime. That game will be at Lincoln. Nebraska is a team that looks good and is opening a lot of eyes early on. And Northern Illinois, I mentioned them a moment ago, they go on the road for the second week in a row to South Florida looking for a bounce back there. So interesting matchups around the country this weekend, but perhaps for the most part, not as compelling as some of the ones we saw last week.
One quick question before I let you go. Prediction, Northwestern and Illinois State this weekend from Mr. Cat himself.
Well, I think Northwestern wins this game. But I think the first half in particular will be close. I think Illinois State's got the ability to make this a close game. They're a little different team than they've been the last couple of years. They had a real threat at quarterback in Trey Roberson. He's moved on now, the Indiana transfer. But they unveiled a running back out of Rockford last week named Robinson, who's a pretty exciting, dynamic player. So it'll be an interesting game, and I think the fans coming out to Ryan Field are going to be entertained. I do think Northwestern will play better this week, and I think they know that they need to play better, especially with the schedule about to get tougher following this game against Illinois State. And this game itself won't be easy. Brock Spack, the coach at Illinois State, a longtime Big Ten guy at Purdue, and he and Pat Fitzgerald go back a long way. So for Mike Jacobson, I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for being with us, and we will be with you again next week for another look at college football. So long, everybody.